The following programming is sponsored by Monica Lowry and Melinda Allen. The views expressed do not necessarily reflect the views of this station, its management, or Beasley Media Group.
Hi, and welcome to Let's Talk with Mindy, Monica, and Myesha. My name is Monica.
I'm Myesha.
I'm Mindy.
And welcome today. How are you ladies doing?
Wonderful. And yourself?
I'm good. Happy Monday.
Happy Monday. Happy Mother's Day.
Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you, Myesha. So how's everyone today?
I'm good. I'm good. I just had a really relaxing, I had a relaxing weekend. So a friend of mine took the kids for all day Saturday.
Okay.
I didn't even know how to act. Like, I kept trying to come home. And she kept texting me. She said, don't come home before 6.
Wow.
So, and then she took them again Sunday, you know, so.
So what did you end up doing?
Saturday I ended up sitting with my mom, like, literally all day Saturday.
So, that's awesome.
Yeah, she was kind of happy to see me. And then it was just so funny. Just like all her kids just ended up there on Saturday.
Oh, wow.
That was nice.
That was really nice. So. So what did you guys do?
They actually threw some stuff on the grill. You know, it wasn't nothing fancy, but they threw something on the grill. You know, we ate. And then I went to go see my Aunt Bev. Hi, Beverly Whiteside, just in case you're listening.
Hi, Aunt Bev.
So I just want to wish her, she was feeling a little down, so I just wanted to wish her a happy Mother's Day on the air and tell her that, you know, I do love you. So.
Oh, amazing. Myesha, how was your weekend?
Exhausting. The past like 8 days, I've been to a Penn State graduation, 3 prom send-offs. God, it's Lord. Just been like prom after prom after prom. Then Saturday, we had a Mother's Day barbecue with all of my cousins and my aunties. And yeah, it was fun. So yesterday, I just wanted to relax. So I just chilled in the house. Okay. Did a little gambling online, you know. I love it. I love the fact that you can, like, gamble online. So, yeah, that's what I did.
Oh, okay. My weekend was amazing, as always. I spent it with family, actually. Let me shout out to Kappa High School. They had an amazing musical. They had, like, a spring dance, and my granddaughter, Michaela, was in it. And when I tell you, they did an amazing job. I thought I was watching an episode of Glee.
Wow.
And, I mean, these students went above and beyond with their performance. Hmm. So I would like to take the time and shout out to Kappa High School on Broad Street, on 901 South Broad Street. If your child is in, like, elementary or in middle school, and they into dance, a drill, that is the school to go to. I was telling my other granddaughter, and having, you know, I let her watch the videos, and I'm like, this is just so you. But I just wanted to make a shout out to Kappa High School of Kappa Performing Arts. And I went to a prom send off with my little cousin. She looked amazing. When I tell you this dress was something to die for, I'm like, can I borrow that dress when you're done? She had like this gold shimmery dress. I mean, silver shimmery dress that was just amazing. They said, you know, a young lady had made it at the last minute, and she did an amazing job. I don't recall her name. Everyone was looking nice. Mm-hmm. You know, the weather kind of was a little shaky, a little dreary with the rain. And then we had a family, you know, Mother's Day cookout. We was going to have it on Sunday, but because we knew that the day was going to be a little dreary, so everybody kind of said, let's have it on Saturday. When I tell you, it was so much fun. However, it was the kids that drove me crazy.
Yes.
It's a bunch of kids. I'm like, get your kids, y'all. Everybody, tame your children.
Right.
But, you know, it was fun. The kids was having fun. The ice cream truck came out. The neighbor from across the street treated all the little kids on the block.
Aww, that's so
excited.
Nice.
They was excited. It's crazy how the kids... When we were kids, we was excited. It's still to this day that they get excited with this ice cream truck.
With the ice cream truck, yeah.
And kids, you know, of today is get the same excitement. The ice cream truck is here.
Do you find that even adults, because I know me and my sister, like if we're at my mom's house and ice cream truck come by, we're the first ones like up.
Go
running.
Get my wallet. Go get,
that's the crazy thing selfie. About it is I saw adults in the line first and I'm like, and the kid's like, I want one.
I love
and
then Mr. when Softy. One kid.
Yeah, when one kid runs up, it's like five more running up,
and then
10 more, and then the neighbor end up giving the guy money and said, this should cover all these kids out here.
Wow.
Yeah, so that was nice. I thought that was really, really
nice. That was really nice. So shout out to the neighbor on Widener Street over in, what is it called? What section of Philadelphia?
Alney
section.
And it's crazy because when I was younger, the cones were like $1.25. Now they're like $4 something.
Are they?
Like,
for a cone?
No, it can't.
Yes, it was.
Wow. For ice cream cone?
Yes.
Was it Mr. Softy or was it like a regular ice cream
It was Mr. Softy. I don't think it was that much.
No. It was $3.50 to be exact.
Oh, no. Yeah. So it is that expensive. Yeah.
Wow.
$3.50, yes.
Okay, you can get like a box of cones.
It's not the $1.99. Same.
Not
it's
the
not the same.
Same.
It's
not the same. And then a gallon of ice cream.
It's so not the same. Nobody does it like Mr. Softy.
You know me, I'm always looking at ways to budget.
One thing I never did, like you ever have your children when they were younger at the ice cream truck and there's this one child that you know didn't have money. I never like to see a little kid walk away with no ice cream.
Yeah, we always had that mentality of no kid left behind.
Right. Yes.
So
yes.
Whoever all these kids out here, go ask your mama for some money. If she don't have no money, we got you.
Because I've seen people do that and the little kids just standing there like, nah, we're not doing that.
And that's exactly what the neighbor done. He said, you know, just cover everyone. So
that was so sweet.
It was. And for the most part, yesterday, I just relaxed. You know, it was a good weekend. My daughter had surprised me with all these gifts, of course. The one to the right of me. Thank you, Maisha.
For people at home, she's talking about
me. She took me to get my nails done, my hair done. I wanted this air fryer. Mm-hmm. She got the air fryer. I wanted this grill. She got me everything that I wanted. She's an amazing daughter. And then you know what I liked about you, Maisha? You are so reserved in a good way. Your mannerism when it comes to adults. So she gave all her aunts and cousins their flowers. She said, you know, I'm going to give you guys your flowers today. So she ended up giving my aunt some roses, my cousin, and my cousin friend Lori, because Lori is always around and always helping out. And she ended up giving her flowers. So thank you for that. And her sister. She gave her sister some flowers.
No, because you guys are very, like, amazing women. And, like, me and my cousins was talking, like, how my mom and my aunt and my cousin, like, raised us and, you know, made us into the women we are today. So I was like, they deserve their flowers. Like, you know.
Yeah, so that happened. So what's going on, Monica? What's going on in the world today? Or how can I say Philly? Philadelphia, Pennsylvania?
Well, in the world, there's so much going on. But you know what, though? I saw something where on the news this morning where they caught the guy that there was some gentleman who beat up this young autistic young man.
Yeah, we were talking about
that
on a sub, right? Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and they caught the guy who did it. So I was so ecstatic, you know, when I heard that they caught him because there's just no reason that should have happened under any circumstance whatsoever.
Yeah, when I was listening to KYW this morning and I heard it. And, you know, it really hurts my soul. You know, nobody should ever be subjected to that kind of
abuse.
But, you know, with my disabilities, that really touched home. And, you know, so I had a talk with my 16-year-old daughter and I just reiterated, like, you know, that's never okay, never acceptable. And she was like, Mom, I would never, you know, do that to anyone because I wouldn't want anybody to do that to my mom. So it's just as parents, we have to just keep reminding our kids how important it is to respect others and show empathy and compassion. Mm-hmm. So, yeah.
Yeah, I agree with you 100%, only because I'm an aunt of an autistic boy, and he's 17. And he likes to go on the bus and go everywhere. Another day, they was telling me how he caught the bus from North Philly all the way to Mount Airy because he lives in the Mount Airy section of Philadelphia. And I'm like, are you always in this, you know, catching a bus by yourself? I'm not comfortable with that because he's such a friendly
kid. I met him.
Like,
yeah.
And he's so clingy to people, not knowing that, you know, because the little kids started picking, you know, punching them in the face. And I, you know me, I put on my auntie head. Don't you do that. What is wrong with you?
Yeah.
So, and I can tell, like, he has, like, the strength where he could have just, you know, put his hands
his
on
size,
the little,
yeah.
little boy, but he chose not to. And I said, you know, I was telling the kid, don't you ever put your hands on anyone.
Mm-hmm.
Especially, you know, this boy has, you know, is artistic. He can't defend his way. He can defend himself in a way that will hurt you.
Yeah, yeah.
So, you know, I'm telling him not to do that. And he was just trying to, like, get off of me, telling him to get off of him. And so when, you know, my little cousin mom came, you know, I let her know, you need to have a conversation with your son. Because there's no reason, or at any given time, you should put your hands on somebody.
Right, right.
You know, at all.
At all, yeah.
So I told her, you need to have a sit down with him. Because they were, like, punching him in the face. You right. know me. I'm not a yeller, but listen. I started yelling at these kids. My yeah. nephew, is 17, and that little boy is, what, 12, 13? But wow. I can see my nephew's strength. Like, my nephew yeah. could have picked him up and threw him somewhere, not just because.
Out of his innocence, not knowing.
Right, exactly. Not knowing yeah. that he could hurt this boy. Yeah. And I was trying to prevent that from happening, but also school him
mm-hmm.
In a way where he know what you're doing is not tolerated
right,
and not
right.
acceptable. You don't ever put your hands mm-hmm. on someone.
Mm-hmm.
And then we were leaving. You know, I stayed back to make sure I helped my cousin clean the house and put her house back into order when everybody left. And he's left behind and was like, Aunt Linda, can you take me home? And I'm like, wait a minute. You didn't go get in a ride with, you know, other family members that was going your way? No. I said, well, why didn't you? So I'm having that sit down with him. Like, mm-hmm. these are the things that you should be aware of. You cannot be on the bus at 9 o'clock at night.
Right, right, right.
So I said, I'm not able to take you home because it's way out of my way. However, I'm going to call you an Uber.
Gotcha.
So I ended up, okay. you know, getting him an Uber home. And his mom called me and thanked me for putting him in an Uber. Only to have a conversation with my brother to find out that he got robbed on a SEPTA bus one day for his jacket.
Mm-hmm. Are you serious?
Yes. Yeah. So it's just like so disturbing that someone would rob a kid on a SEPTA bus of his coat.
Yeah.
That the SEPTA dropper had to come and take his coat off and give it to him and call my aunt, my sister, and let her know what transpired on the bus.
Right, right.
And I'm like, so this is the exact reason why I'm happy I called him an Uber and sent him an Uber home. Because
right.
I wasn't going to allow him to get on the bus late at night. It wasn't that late, but I still wasn't going to send
well,
him
for
on the bus. And if I could, yeah. I would have to come home. It wasn't enough room in the car, then it was...
Right. It's just, you know, it's sad.
You know? It is sad. Mm-hmm. I didn't hear the story about what
yeah,
transpired.
I heard it today.
So from what I understand, it literally was an unprovoked attack on him. And like even the news people said, it was just so brutal. Like, you know, they ended up taking him to the hospital. And you can see how lumped up he was on the side.
Wow, that's so sad. Just situations like this make me want to cry.
And just to hear him talk, like you can clearly see there's nothing that he could have possibly done to have, you know, triggered this. I'm going to say fool, to beat on him the way he did, you know.
I'm sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt
you.
Oh, no,
that's fine. But.
I agree with what Maisha said is we have to teach our children to have some type of empathy and sympathize for other children. So when you instill these emotions into children, it takes away the anger and the meanness and the toxic.
Yeah.
Energy that they had, and they start applying positive, and they see someone that needs help or see someone that,
right.
you know, that's not able to do for themselves
right.
to reach out
right.
to them and help them and not pretty much want to beat them up or take advantage of them. Teach your kids to stop being a bully and not taking advantage of kids that's helpless.
But then you look at it from, and I just look at it from a social media standpoint, like, you know, how do you teach the kids when you have grown-ups? Like, you know, you have grown-ups that are, like, bullying people, you know, and, you know, filming it. You know, everybody's, you know, filming stuff for clout and, you know, whatever you want to say it is. But, you know, it's hard to teach the kids when you got the adults doing the same thing.
Yeah, Mindy and I was talking about that the other day. We were listening to the radio and
and I forgot what they was talking about, but it was regarding race and stuff like that. And I'm like, we can't tell our children to stop bullying, like you said, when adults are doing the very same thing. Like,
yeah,
you know.
It
starts at home.
Yeah.
You know, you always have to have that sit down in that conversation.
Yeah.
And then not only have that, when you have that conversation with your kids, you let them know the consequences of their actions if they decide to do the opposite of what you're telling them. These are the actions. This is what can happen in you. Are you ready to give up your whole life and your freedom for something as simple? And you don't know the health of someone's, you don't know the issue, the health issue someone may have. Like, you could be kicking somebody that have a seizure disorder and they go into a seizure and something happened. Now you're faced with assault or attempted murder or anything to that matter. Like, anything can go wrong.
I know somebody
a bad situation can get worse.
Yep. Yeah.
And what I always do is I reflect it back on them. Like, one day when one of the Lyft drivers didn't want to, you know, drive on the other side of the street. So he wanted me to cross Broad Street with my daughter. And I was like, I don't feel comfortable crossing Broad Street with my daughter. Like, you know, I don't want to get hit by a car or whatever. It was like, well, you got to get out right here. And I was like, put yourself in my shoes. Would you want, I said, so if I get out this car today and get hit by a car, would you want that on your conscience? Or would you want somebody to do that to your daughter? And then he was like, you're absolutely right. And he, you know, fixed his attitude and drove me on the other side of the street. And like I told my daughter this morning, how would you like if somebody did that to your mom? So you have to kind of make people feel like if you were in this predicament, would you want somebody to do this to you or do that to someone you love, you know? So.
Yeah, I get it. It's sad. Mm-hmm. I mean, this whole story is making me...
Yeah, because after that story on KYW, and you know, I was like, I got to stop listening to KYW in the morning. Like, it just messed my whole morning up. So after that, they were saying how they are pulling a lot of the permits for the carnivals because a 16-year-old and 17-year-old got shot yesterday at a carnival. And unfortunately, the 16-year-old passed away, succumbed to his injuries. And that was in Wilmington. And then last week, in the carnival in Bruma, there was like a big fallout or riot or whatever. So they had to shut that one down.
And the one in the Exton.
And the one in Exton. Yeah, so they're pulling all of the permits for carnivals. And I'm like, that's a shame because, you know, this is the people that own and operate the carnival, this is their livelihood. This is how they make money to support their families. And, you know, the kids that's out to really just have fun, it's just horrible. So it's just like, I don't know what's going on.
And that's sad because the business owners of those carnivals is being subjected to this type of behavior. Mm-hmm. And now they're taking a loss because if someone, you know, decide that they want to, you know, act out. And if I was the carnivals, you can't get in unless you're over the age of 18. You have someone over the age of 18 with you.
Yeah.
So your parents, stop sending your kids to the carnival. Go with them.
Right, right.
You know, but then in some instances, it'd be the parents. It'd be the parents that'd be initiating it or, provoking it or, you know, like.
Even if you look on a lot of these stores, like even for me, like all over, they had that sign on the door, and especially like where there's like schools, like a lot of schools. After you can't get in, like, at a certain time without an adult or something like that?
I'm with them.
Because the fashion district, which was the old gallery, you cannot get in. You have to be with somebody over the age of 20 or 21, I believe it is.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And I believe everyone should follow that rule, especially when it comes to the carnivals and beaches and stuff like that, because I believe that one of New Jersey beaches have experienced that same thing last year, you know, where the kids was being very disruptive.
And
bullying and picking on people. And, you know, they had to, you know, put some rules in place. And I believe that if you're a parent, don't send your kids to the beach alone. If you're a parent, don't send them to the carnival. We're not living in a world where, you know, they're responsible enough.
To be well
behaved anymore. Yeah. You know, your child can be the good kid in the house, but as soon as they leave out that door, they can turn into the bad kid.
Right.
You know, just because they want to fit in with the crowd that they're hanging out with. And it's always, you know, other kids that will...
And as a parent of a teenager, like, I'm scared to send my child, like, to the beach or to a carnival by herself, because I know kids are irresponsible. They like to play and, you know, they don't. They're kids.
And so it's sad. What about these good kids that go there just to have fun and just want to go on a ride and stuff like that? They should not be penalized. And again, you just want to shut down all these carnivals because of, you know, the bad apple in a bunch.
Right.
You know, and I think you guys should have more policing, and also say that is one person, one 20-year-old, 21-year-old per three kids or something like that.
Right.
You know, set some rules where you can't get in unless you with an adult.
Right.
You know, I don't care if you're 16, 17, you can't get in until you're an adult.
And you have to show ID.
You have to show ID.
Yeah.
Or you can't get past these doors, because all these, you know, the time for these carnivals to come out, set up.
Yeah.
And they actually on like a roll.
Yeah.
So they going from town to town, state to state, setting all this up only to be shut down. They got workers they got to pay.
That's what I was going to say. Yeah.
So you got people that's out of a job because we decide that we allow in this one group of people or two, three groups of people to reflect on everyone. And that's not fair to everyone. It looks like, you know, that's excited and look forward to.
Yeah.
So it's like, again, this summer it's the carnivals. Last summer it was the public pools that they couldn't open because nobody wanted to be a lifeguard because they said the kids were very, like, disruptive and stuff. And it's just like, it's crazy. So no pools, no carnivals. So it's like, what do these kids
shut
have?
Shut technology. Shut social media down for a whole year. Let's just see how these kids react.
It's like you can't ride the bus. You can't go to the carnival. You can't go to the pool.
It's like we're dealing with the children of the corn.
Yes. It's like, or the bad sea. It's like, what's going on?
I remember right before the pandemic, before we shut down, worked on, like, you know, before we started working from home, there's a school nearby in the Wawa near the Wawa that's like right down there near 19th and Market. Every time school let out, like, that Wawa literally would get swarmed with kids. Like, at the end of the day, they literally would go in there just, you know, getting cups and getting ice and just acting so unruly. So eventually, I don't know if it was a disciplinarian or principal or whoever he was, he would come down to the Wawa like every single day, and the kids were like, oh, you can't do nothing to me, school is out. Right to the side.
Wow.
Yes. Crazy. And so, you know, I know the Wawa's, I know they closed it down, but it used to get hectic. Like, you'd forget about going down there on your break because you're not going to get anything. You might as well go to the vending machine. So
I don't know what type of world.
When I was a kid, I just wanted to have fun. I don't know.
We'll go beat up people. Disruptive and damage.
You know why
stuff.
We didn't do stuff like that? Because we knew we had to go home.
We feared our parents.
We had to go home.
And our parents was home in the house.
Right.
We had to make sure we were home when the lights come on, or our parents right at the step.
Right.
You can't go out for 5 days or you're on punishment. Do kids even get punishment anymore?
You know what? I don't even hear kids talking about being in the house for like 5 days anymore.
Taking their phones and don't nobody do
but
that
really
anymore.
It's like the opposite. The picture kids on punishment, you have to send them outside. Like, you got to go outside for 5 days because they're okay with being in the house because, you know, they got their phones. And
they're the good kids that be in the house. We talking the bad kids that
Which
be outside.
One of y'all, did somebody show me the video? Was one of you guys show me the video where the mom took the cell from the son and he tore the house up?
No, it wasn't me, but...
He literally, you just saw the house. I said a 12-year-old couldn't have did that. I said her ex-boyfriend or something must have did that because that just had a lot. Deb, she was like, no,
some
he took the cell phone.
I think for the most part, people fear their children and study the children fearing their parents.
Yeah, yeah,
it's the opposite.
Yeah.
And that's sad because I had a conversation with, you know, a parent. I'm not going to put them out there. And they said that they were, you know, cursing, you know, their child out because their child snuck out the house, right? Mm-hmm. So he's supposed to been babysitting his little sister, and he's been sneaking out the house, and he came in around 4 something in the morning. So of course she started going in on him, and when he was acting like it didn't faze him, she probably hit him upside his head or something, or smacked him or whatever. He said, "Hit me again. I'm calling 911 on you."
Crazy, like,
wait, the kids threaten to call 911. Like, he doesn't see the issue that, you know, he he's being disciplined.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, and you're yelling, and the yelling is not getting to him. He's just acting nonchalant. Whatever, Mom, whatever. So, you know, she's like, popped him upside his head and said, are you listening to me? And he said, I'm going to call 911. Listen, you know how they say drop, if you don't want your baby, drop him at the fire department.
Right, okay.
I will be dropping you off right at the police department. Here you go. Take this kid.
Oh my goodness.
This kid is not worthy of a parent like me.
Call them. They can take them. Take you, okay? Because guess what? You're going to be in foster care somewhere, and I'm going to still be in my comfortable home.
Okay.
But then I said her all the time, leave my phone, leave my clothes, everything. Leave everything I bought you. And that's fine. See how you like it when you got to share, you know.
Maybe that's what we should do. Start dropping these kids off. So I don't know.
Somebody I know said that their child, you know, came in after 11 o'clock and they locked the door because they knew they had to be in the house at 10 o'clock. Or was it? No, like 12 o'clock. So when they tried to get in, you know, she locked all the doors or whatever and called the cops on them. And
told
the cops they were breaking their curfew. So the cops came and was like, ma'am, you got to let them in. She said, no, I don't. Philadelphia has a 10 o'clock curfew. So you got to take them to the... It's like a center that they go to when they break curfew.
Are you serious? Yes.
She would not let them in. So she's like, I'm going back and forth with the cops. Like, they can't come in my house. No, they wanted to be grown and, you know, stay out past their curfew. So take them to the curfew center. And that's what they did. So the cops had to take them to the curfew center. And she said she didn't pick them up till the next morning.
Oh, my
And they
goodness.
Was calling
and
her,
they
like,
was calling, crying, like, Mom, we want to come home.
We want to come home.
She said, no, I'll pick you. I'll come get you when I'm ready to come get you, just like you wanted to come home when you were ready to come home.
That's
so
awesome.
So she used, like, reverse psychology, and I was like, I like that.
Yeah.
She stood her ground.
Like, you wow. don't come in my house if I gave you a curfew at 11 o'clock.
So
you
she
don't
called the
in.
Cops on them. I said, yeah, give them a taste of their own money. So I thought that was so funny. And the cops was like, not, you know, like, ma'am, you have to let them in. She said, no, I do not.
They broke curfew. You know what happens when...
Do your job and take them to the curfew center. I was like, oh, I like that. So I feel like every parent should take that initiative.
Oh, my God.
The service is available. Mm-hmm. Call the cops and make them go to the curfew center. And
yeah. And they said the center was horrible. Mm-hmm. It was cold.
Where's it located?
I forgot where she said. I think mm-hmm. every neighborhood has one, though. I think it's...
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's
that
funny.
Is too funny.
They thought they was going to just come home and get in their bed.
She was like, you're not getting in. Nope. She's like, I ain't even own the door. I was talking to him through the window.
Talk to him through the ring camera.
She's like, I ain't open the door for the cops either. I was talking to them through the window too. Nope. They belong to y'all. Take them to the curfew center. It's past 10 o'clock. I said, I like that.
That's what you call disciplining your kid, mm-hmm. and standing your ground.
Yeah.
Because I bet you they'd be in the house before 11 o'clock from this point on.
Okay.
Because they know where they're going. They're going to the center.
I could not believe it, but that was funny.
I remember when Grant was about 15, 16, and he come creeping in the door. And I was up. The way my living room was, I was sitting over in the corner. And he comes in the house. He opens the door. He goes tip, tip, going towards the kitchen. And I'm just sitting over in the corner just fuming, just waiting for him to come home. So he got right to where I was sitting, and he didn't see me sitting in the dark in the corner. I said, you're high, aren't you? He said, and he started crying. I scared the high out of him.
Because he thought you were asleep.
He thought
and
I was sleeping.
I don't think I had that problem, because my kids, if their dad sent them to the store mm-hmm. and they took more than 10 minutes, he went looking for them.
He was coming.
They feared their dad.
Right.
Because wherever he catch you, you're getting it.
Embarrassed. He don't care. He's going to embarrass
you. Embarrass you in front of who you with, who you're around. He would go looking for you. Like, okay. So they made sure that it wasn't no sneaking in the house. We don't go to sleep until everyone is in the house.
Mm-hmm.
So they knew we wasn't falling asleep and going to bed. And so we knew we had
he was like the warrant of the prison. Like, he would do his rounds. Like, it wasn't like, okay, parents going to sleep and that's it. He would, you know, wake up in the middle of the night, make sure everybody where they're supposed to be.
Said, do this rounds. Oh, my God.
Yeah, he
did not know. Yes.
My ex-husband was a disciplinary. Like,
yes.
When I tell you, he did not play.
At all. Okay. But. So we... No, he did not play. And I was like, everybody needs a parent like him. He did not
play, okay? So we knew not to play with him. So we were on our best behavior.
They only would act out when he wasn't around. Because I would let them do whatever they want because I felt like he was soft. A warden.
Yeah.
Like, y'all could come downstairs now. The warden.
We'd be outside. We'd be playing.
The warden went to work.
So then one of us, like, he home, everybody. He was like Joe Jackson.
That's terrible.
But guess what? We were behaved children.
Yeah, probably was the best behaved in the children.
We ain't sneak out. We ain't indulge in drugs or nothing because we knew.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Y'all really knew. Y'all only had the freedom when y'all went to other people's houses and they knew. No, I ain't trying
don't
to hear
go to sleep with, don't go to sleep with dishes in this thing. Oh, no.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
So we're going to take about a 2-minute break right now, and then we'll be back.
Okay. Brewery Town Construction LLC is a family-owned general contracting company known across the Philadelphia and tri-state area for completing high-quality home renovations and larger commercial building projects. If you are looking to renovate your home or business, contact Brewery Town Construction Company at 888-572-8696 or at brewerytownconstruction.com.
Junkstar is a professional and reliable company dedicated to providing efficient and eco-friendly solutions for all your junk removal needs. With years of experience in the industry, we understand the importance of keeping your space clean and clutter-free. Our team of trained professionals is committed to delivering top-notch service, ensuring that your debris, trash furniture, or junk is removed promptly and responsibly. We handle a wide range of items, including old furniture, appliances, electronics, construction debris, yard waste, and much more. At Junkstar, we prioritize sustainability and strive to minimize our environmental impact. We employ environmentally friendly disposal methods, recycling and donating items whenever possible. Rest assured that your unwanted items will be handled with care and disposed of responsibly. Customer satisfaction is our utmost priority, and we aim to exceed your expectations. Our team is punctual, courteous, and equipped with the necessary tools and equipment to complete any job efficiently. We offer competitive pricing and upfront quotes so you can trust that you're receiving fair and transparent service. Whether you need residential or commercial junk removal services, Junkstar is here to assist you. Contact us today to schedule your hassle-free junk removal and experience the convenience of a clutter-free space. Call 888-572-8696. That's 888-572-8696.
Hi. Welcome back to Let's Talk with Mindy, Monica, and Maisha. So before the break, we were talking about, just talking about children. I just wanted to take the time to talk about children in foster care. A lot of you know I do have custody of my two grandchildren, and I ended up taking custody of them. I just didn't want them in the system. And then just working with the foster care agencies that I work with, I found that there are so many children that are in foster care that are looking for families. And I just wanted to take the time out to say, if you can, if you're able to, I just think it's important that, if you can, be a foster parent, consider fostering children. There are so many children. I know the one agency that I work with, they have so many children that need to be placed. They literally had to transform one of the offices into like an orphanage because they had nowhere to put, all the kids, that they had. So, and then some of these, it's just a touchy situation for me. So I apologize if I'm not verbalizing it very well. But, there's a lot of children that's, in need of homes,
So this month is, go ahead, Maisha.
Yes, because the month of May is National Foster Care Awareness Month. And like Monica was saying, there's so many kids or children out here from babies to teenagers who really needs and deserve a home. And I know we were talking before the commercial, like a lot of kids that's out here wreaking havoc on the streets of Philadelphia. And some of them come from broken homes and they need the love and the support. So if you are able and willing and have the heart and the means, please foster a child.
And I just, and there are nationally, there are over 400,000 children in foster care. And in the Philadelphia area, over 5,000 children in care.
It's over 300,000 kids.
Wow. What in?
Kids in foster kids right now looking for a loving home.
Wow.
So we're talking, you know, trying to be a foster parent in Pennsylvania because the need is there.
Yeah.
And we're looking for people that wants not only do it because for money or you need to add additional income. Don't ever think being a foster parent is a reason for another stream of income. It's not.
Right.
Because you have to take these children in and treat them as if they're your own, as if you gave birth to these kids. And you have to give them, the loving, the caring.
The nurturing.
And the nurturing yes. that it requires. And they, it's some with like special needs.
Yeah.
As well, because, it's mental, physical help that they need. And if you're that type of person that has that caring, kindness heart, and you're willing to give them a second chance at life and having that parenting.
Right.
Become a foster parent in Pennsylvania because the need is there.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's really not hard, like even the trainings and stuff like that. But like she said, just don't do it for the money. Do it because these kids need help. These kids truly need help. I'm just talking to different social workers about, the different situations some of these kids have come out of is just, horrible. I was talking to one social worker where she was saying, where she went into the house and she said she was just taken aback. She said, because like literally just, it was so much trash on the floor. She said she was just looking around like, y'all don't see this trash. And she said, unfortunately, they have to pull the children, out of situations like that. Whether it's situations like that where the home is just deplorable, where they can't, where animals shouldn't even live, whether it's drugs, whether it's abuse. Yeah. Mental health, So it comes full circle, when it comes to, like the services.
Yeah, it takes patience, mm-hmm. yeah. a lot of patience to deal with someone else's child. And you don't know what you're getting when you're fostering
exactly.
a kid.
Fostering a kid, right.
However, if you have that compassionate mm-hmm. and empathy and sympathy for children as a whole.
Yes.
Not only for yourself, for any children.
Yeah.
You definitely have the requirements.
Yeah.
But it doesn't take a lot to become a foster parent.
It really doesn't.
And
I was really surprised.
If you want to do it for 3-4 months and
you don't like it, you can always.
Is sad to give them back, but just to nurture someone for a couple months.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
To have that caring, and if you have the home and the needs to be able to fit kids in, there is definitely a desperate need for foster care parents out here.
Yes. And even if you can't do it full time, there's what's called respite care, where you can take on, like a child from a foster parent to give that foster parent, a break or whatever it is, so. There's a lot you can do, like with the foster care system. So I would just say, look around in your, the local foster care agencies. The ones that I just personally know of is Bethany Community Services, Tabor Community Services, Christ Home in Warminster. So there's a lot of organizations out.
Yeah, there's Kids Peace in Bucks County.
Mm-hmm.
They also have Friendship House Foster Care, Progressive Life Center, Children's Choice. Turning Points for Children. Google foster care agencies in Philadelphia and Pennsylvania. There is a whole list of them out there just waiting for your call.
Someone
just
to say, I'm here. Open your heart and your doors to a child.
To a child that's in need. And the thing about it is, if we can open our doors to an animal, why not open our doors to a child? Because raising a dog and a cat is the same. is raising a child.
Right.
I know some people are scared because they don't know what they're getting when they, they, it's just like you, when you go to a dog rescue, mm-hmm. you don't know what you're getting when you get the animal as well. But kids need that.
They need that love.
That love.
And they need to feel like they're wanted, you know?
Right. Because, you know, I've heard stories where people take on kids and, one of the social workers was actually saying that her younger sister had another relative's kids or whatever the situation was. And her and the husband, after they took the child, because they had their own kids, they was just uncomfortable with the child. And they treated the child. And the child was then, you know, made to feel like they weren't wanted. So they did end up pulling that child from the home, you know, eventually. But I just thought that was just sad that, you know, you took the child, but now you make this child feel unwanted. So now they're back in the system. You definitely got to have a heart for it, you know.
Yeah, and it's so many amazing stories that people took in foster children, foster kids, end up adopting them.
Right.
Yeah.
You know, and treating them like they're, you know, their family, like their birth children. So I feel like, if you have the space, the time, and the patience.
And the patience.
And a caring heart.
A caring heart, yes.
Yes. It has to be in your heart.
It has to be a caring heart. You have to. If I had the time, I would take in a foster child. And I commend you, Monica, for doing what you're doing. Because you have, your children are grown.
Right.
Yeah, yeah.
And you were ready to go ahead. They're grown. I'm about to live my best life. I'm about to travel. Yes. And you put aside.
You started from scratch. Not one, but two. So I take my hat off to you.
You actually put aside your life.
Yeah.
You know, and made the ultimate sacrifice. And you sacrificed your own freedom.
Right. Yeah.
To be a mother to these two innocent, beautiful children.
Yes.
My and I'm going to say what my granddaughter always say, that it has to be here.
Yes.
It has to be here. So I commend you for that.
Thank you.
You know, and the way you gravitate and the way you love these two children, you don't treat them like they're your grandchildren. You treat them like they're your own.
Yeah.
And it's like, I have to make this sacrifice.
Right.
You know, I'd rather to see them in my home than to see them out in the street in someone else's home. That way I know that they're getting the right care.
Yeah.
You know, the proper care, the love that they need.
I just couldn't see it, like, even though, you know, because I was getting ready to party like a rock star.
You were.
I was like, hey. And then all of a sudden, it was like, you got a baby. And then a year later,
another one. It's like, I don't know. Like, I can have my grandkids and I can send them back home and I can send them to their parents. But to be in my 50s and have to deal with two toddlers
full-time
work, that's a lot. It's a whole lot. It takes a caring, loving, patient human being to say, this is what I'm going to do, and this is the sacrifice that I'm going to make for my children. Because we always have that unconditional love for our children. They just don't want it the way they just don't receive it the way we give it sometimes.
Yeah, yeah.
But they don't see the sacrifices that we make every day
for
them. And I commend you for that, because at the end of the day, you could have been like, well, my son, you know, I can see him on the weekends. I could be the grandma. But no, you stepped in and said, I'm going to be the
mom. Or you could have let them go into the system so.
Take my hat off to you.
Thank you, Monica.
Thank you.
Oh, you're welcome. You're welcome, world.
You are an amazing.
Yes, so everyone, take a page out of Monica's book. If you have the heart and the home.
And people ask, like, do I regret it? Not a minute of it, you know, not a minute. You guys know my babies.
If my son passed away and he had children, I would do the same.
Yeah.
I would really, really do
the same. It was actually a blessing in disguise, because who'd ever know that he was going to pass away, you know? So I think people do get freaked out a little bit because my grandson looks just like him.
He does.
Like, friends of his that haven't seen my grandson, the one friend start crying. He said, I can't believe how much he looks like him. So
he looks just like your son.
And he acts just like him too.
And a little girl looks just like your daughter.
Yes,
it's
she
crazy.
Does.
That
yes, she does.
Like you raising your two kids all over again.
You know, and I think, so you said that, but that's the scary part about it, because that's what it feels like sometimes, because when Taylor and Grant was that age, mm-hmm. because of the issue with their dad. That's a whole nother story, y'all. We don't have enough time in the
write
day
that
to
down. That's
that
topic
story.
For next show.
I swear, it's like they copy paste.
So, you know, I didn't get a chance to enjoy them when mm-hmm. they were little like okay. that. So, yeah. So it's you know, and then not only just being the grandma, foster mom, you know, kinship care. I'm actually a single mom, so it's not like I have a husband or, you know, a helpmeet with me. So I started over as a single mom. So, like I said, it was a challenge, you know, but like I said, I got good support team, support system.
So is there any single men out there? That's awesome. Monica is
email Monica at info at...
She's
and if
beautiful.
You got a son,
she's intelligent.
Me.
Somehow I got ahead to make this about y'all.
Always.
She has two so beautiful children.
If you
children.
Are a single man looking to foster children, Monica has two. Y'all can go in together. Sharing is caring.
I always take something so serious.
Fine, let's go back.
Okay, all
let's
right.
get back to the subject matter.
We'll talk about that later. But it's literally, but you know what the crazy part about it is? You know, and I really, and people are like really taken aback, you know, like I said, because of certain situations, I can't discuss everything over the air. But, people are surprised that my heart aches for their mom, you know, and it's just like, yeah, because you know why? Because she didn't ask to be the way that, you know, that she is. And, you know, and I still, like, if I'm in a certain areas, mm-hmm. I'm looking to see if I see her, you know, because I care about her well-being. But, you know, there's it's been a challenge, but, you know, I wouldn't change it for the world. I really wouldn't. So
and it's worth it at the end of the day.
And what type of... I'm about to interview you. So tell our viewers what type of assistance that you get, like what type of help that you get from other agencies, just, you know, taking care of the children, because it doesn't just stop. Is help and all the things, right?
Yeah, so like all my... both of them, they get... you know, because they were born, I guess I shouldn't say that, but I guess I'm saying now, they were addicted to drugs. However, with that being said, they get speech, they get occupational, they get behavior. I have social workers that come to the house that just come monitor, you know. But they're actually, I believe, and I'm going to say this, I do believe when you take, when you have children in certain situations and you put them in positive situations, mm-hmm. you would never think, you know, outside of the delayed speech that, you know, they were born, you know, right. totally addicted to drugs like that. But the, you know, services, you know, like, yeah, they, so like I said, speech, occupational, physical, you know, so, you know, and, you know, of course the financial assistance, you have a team of social workers.
So back you have a village helping you out.
Yeah, anything that I need, you know, they're constantly giving me stuff. It's just
and
like,
you're in a process of adopting, right?
Yes, and I'm in a process of adopting. They
awesome.
Help me. But to get back to Mindy real quick, they offer me so much. So sometimes I turn it down. They're like, well, Miss Monica, I'm the type of person, if I don't need it, you know, God has just blessed me where I don't need to take everything that's given to me.
Right.
But, you know, I have a really wonderful team around me of, like, different agencies and social workers and stuff, you know, that help me with everything. So,
okay. And with my Aisha question, what was your question?
You're in the process of adopting.
Yeah. So I finished the, family profile. So it just has to, they have to take it to the court. And so once the judge approves it, they set an adoption date. And so then, you know,
it's approved.
So if a child is placed in your home and you really, you know, are taken to the child and you, you know, really like fall in love or whatever, you can go from foster to legally adopting a child, right?
So, yeah, there's a lot entailed to that because you have to, in this situation, mom's rights were stripped. So okay. if she still had rights, it would just be fostering. However, after a certain amount of time, they stripped the parental rights.
Okay.
And that's the only way I was able to adopt them, because if mom had got herself together before they stripped the rights,
right.
They would have ended up, you know, which is kind of crazy. Because, you know, my one grandchild, she was already past 2 years old. She would have ended up going back to her mom. So, okay. You know, going to her mom, not back to her mom, because okay. I had her straight from the NICU. Okay. So, yeah.
Wow. That's amazing. Yeah. So another question. So you can either have, is adoption is something that they kind of force upon you, like, or is it something that's optional? Because when you have foster children, well, what am I trying to say? I'm trying to say is, can you just foster the kids and not fully adopt them? Or is it foster kids that leads into adoption? Or is it...
So when they're young, like my grandkids, mm-hmm. they want you to... They ask you that from the very beginning, because those are the kids they don't want to... they want them to have families. They want them and to grow stability. Up with a real family. Yeah. Exactly.
Okay.
So, but let's just say older kids, they let you do something where they give you legal custody of the kids.
Like guardianship?
Yeah, okay. Yeah. So, yeah. So it depends on the age of the kids. But, like, the younger kids, they want you to adopt them. Yeah.
So when you take in foster children, you well aware of the process of these children will only be in your house for 6 months because their mother isn't working or their parents are working on themselves.
Yeah, yeah.
When, okay. you know, parenting, and you're only going to have them for 6 months, so don't get attached because these children have the ability to go back.
So, and I think that was the only thing because of the situation. Yeah, so I was very made aware of that if she got herself together, you know, they're her
children.
She can get her children back, yeah. Okay. So Eliana, after a while, she was not able to, but Jacob's still was able to.
All right. So, well, that's good to know. I mean, that's some good information. So when you're going into becoming a foster parent, there's an opportunity that the child will be in your house temporarily, and it's an opportunity for them to go back to their parents, depending on if they get themselves back together. And there's an opportunity where they may offer you to fully adopt these children because rights has been stripped away from their parents, and they don't want to see them go from home to home to home.
Right.
And if you have that, if you have that stability in your house is structured in a way where you can raise these children to the full capacity until they become adults. Yeah. These are opportunities that's being set in front of you.
And you know another thing that I found? I don't mean to focus on some of the negatives, but, you know, just to give you an idea of some of the things that I've seen and that I've just heard. There are a lot of great, I'm a younger grandmother.
Okay.
But there's a lot of great grandmothers that's taking care of young children, 2 and 3 years old. Okay. And so that's another thing that, you know, and they have no choice because there's nobody's taking these kids. So, you know, that's why.
The overcrowding.
So that's why it's needed, because there's no way in the world somebody 80 years old should have a 2 and a 3 year old and a 5 year old trying to raise them because there's nobody to, you know, to take them on. You know what I mean?
It's sad.
And there's so many people that want children, you know, so I just think the word should be out there.
So I know, so where I'm stuck at is, I know a parent that had 5 children, and 3 of the children, first it was 1 child taken away from the home, and she had the 4, and then 2 children was taken away from the home, and then she had the 3, and then 3 was taken away. Wouldn't it be smart to remove all children? Like, why take 2? Because the 2 children was complaining about abuse. But you leave the other 2 behind, like,
I know another situation like that. I don't understand it myself.
Yeah, isn't it healthy just to take all children out of the household and then hold the parent accountable?
Mom can get herself together, or, you know, dad.
I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Because at one point they took 1, and they had to come back and take 2, come back and take 3, and then all her children was taken away. And to me, I feel like, why wasn't it still no type of counseling or monitoring? You just left these other children because they didn't complain about being abused. Mm-hmm. Well, when they moved out the house, the neighbor came abused.
Right. Yeah. So. They do. I think it depends on your COA and your team. Like I said, I've had great teams around me, you know, people around me. But they are supposed to monitor, you
know. The remaining children at the home.
Yeah, right? Yeah. Okay. So, but I know, like, even taking my grandchildren, I know, like, even her sister's kids were, like, in some trouble that they were getting ready to take her sister's kids. And she had three young kids. And they asked me if they removed the kids from the home because they're all related. They like to keep all kids that's mm-hmm. related together. They asked me if they took the kids, would I be able to take hers too? And I was just, that's a job. I don't have the room for that, you know.
Right.
But I do know, like, any kid that mom has from here on out, because mm-hmm. her rights were terminated,
okay,
they're going to direct those children directly to me. That is the one thing about foster care, because they like to keep siblings together, so.
Okay.
Yeah, and she's young, so she could possibly have another baby between... dear future husband, don't get scared. But
but they're not your sons. Would you still be willing to take it?
So somebody asked me that. And knowing me, I probably would.
Yeah, bless your heart.
Siblings, right, right.
Yeah.
Bless your heart. So. Like, yeah, that's a lot to take in.
Yeah, so.
And that's a lot to think about.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, but because they have siblings, you don't want to separate them from their siblings, and you want to allow them to get to know their siblings as well.
Right.
But it's like, what are the consequences? Like, what you could just keep getting kids taken away and keep doing what you're doing and keep having them.
And they just keep
taking them. And they keep taking them. Yeah. We're like, I think.
That's why the foster care system is the way it is.
It's overcrowded.
Right. So where's the penalty for with the parents that keeps having these children?
There isn't no penalty.
No jail time.
No.
Oh, okay.
She said no.
I think there should be. I think the judge should be a probation officer or something, a parole officer, probation. I don't know.
Right, because I feel like that's a form of like neglect or child endangerment.
Because
or something,
if a man
like,
hits on me, I can go to court and press charges for abuse, right?
Right.
And he go to jail, right?
Right.
So why won't we take that same initiative with parents? And maybe they would think twice because they know if they do it, they going to jail instead of taking the child outside the house and leaving them open to subject type of behavior to other children.
Or, neglect, right.
or to have another child and do that again. And now here we are, the taxpayers.
Trying to figure out.
Trying to pay for, you know, your children. So
exactly.
Why is there not penalties when it's hitting why you're not going to jail for hitting a child, but you can go to jail for hitting your wife or spouse or anything to that matter?
Right, right.
Like the rules are not, you know.
Yeah,
and we could be here all day talking about it. Unfortunately,
don't pique your interest.
We only have hours.
Yes. But again, May is National Foster Care Awareness Month. So if you can, you have the heart and the home. Look
and
into it.
Also, mental health awareness as well. Check on your neighbor. Check on your family. Anybody that's going through depression, please reach out to them and let them know that they have a friend, a family member that really loves them. Next week, we will be having Dr. Harford on the line, and he will discuss mental health behavior.
Enjoy the rest of your guys' day.
Have an amazing weekend.
Thank you.
Thanks, bye-bye. Everyone.